Emmy Award-winning John Mulaney presents Everybody's in L.A., a special run of six live episodes created by and starring Mulaney that'll stream live on Netflix during the Netflix is a Joke Fest. The comically unconventional show will feature special guests where John Mulaney explores the city of Los Angeles during a week when every funny person is in it. Watch John Mulaney Presents Everybody's in L.A., debuting May 3rd live at 7 p.m. Pacific Time, only on Netflix.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive, where drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. Plus, auto customers qualify for an average of seven discounts. Quote now at progressive.com to see if you could save. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May of 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
There's no place to escape to.
This is the last podcast.
On the left.
Side stories.
From your glade.
That's when the cannibalism started.
Side stories. Yes. There's not a lot like fun going on.
What do you
mean? Right now, right? Just in terms of it's difficult to have fun in America right now. But
well,
you know what I will say?
That's because you haven't branded it the Fundemic. It's all about branding,
oh my
Henry.
God.
It's
wait a second. You see my
yeah?
Huh. Do you see? Feel my mouth? Just Fundemic.
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 What do you mean? I can't go outside. Fundemic.
Wow, if you change it like that, you say, I can't go outside. And it's great. But you know what I've really rediscovered?
Uh-huh.
It's a pure, unadulterated love for the BLT.
The bacon, lettuce, and tomato, really?
I am now up to, I'm not going to exaggerate,
wow.
Three or four BLTs a week.
This is actually quite stunning news because I always thought the BLT was a skeleton of a sandwich. I don't think the bacon is enough of a protein. The tomato overwhelms the whole damn thing. You're basically just eating mayonnaise.
You're doing it completely wrong.
Okay.
You're a rube. You're an idiot. Your brain
wow.
needs to be replaced.
Whoa.
You need to go to fucking sandwich rehab, my friend.
Wow.
Because the BLT is just so much more than that. If you can get the thick cut bacon, right? Get the thick cut bacon. Learn to cook it in a cast iron skillet. You
oh
cook
my
it slower.
God.
So it doesn't get as thin, but it gets just as crunchy. You get beefsteak tomatoes, right? Or those things. You get a long slice, right? You get a good thing there. Good. Crisp romaine. And my new thing is get a seeded bread. And not a seeded bread. Not like it's covered in cum.
Right, of course.
I mean, a bread with seeds in it. Something that can stand up to all of the various crunch factors inside of the sandwich where you get, and then I don't currently have a toaster because it exploded.
Well, that'll happen. So, yes, you don't want to go to the organic store that's so organic all of their bread is covered in cum because that just becomes disgusting. I don't know, though, Henry. It's controversial. The pigs are coming back in a big way. They're as smart as dogs. People are actively saving the pigs, going to the slaughterhouses, give them little kisses on the way to getting butchered because they're cute, Henry. So I don't. Maybe you should do turkey bacon.
Maybe the ones that we should choose are the ones wearing little badges. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Maybe they go down the line, or maybe we find a bunch of rapist pigs.
Well,
and those are the ones that we eat.
I don't
find them, but we put a couple attractive female pigs in a pen with a bunch of male pigs, and the ones that don't get on their little pig knee and propose before making love to the other pig,
sure.
We take the other ones, the more rambunctious, the horribly rambunctious pigs,
uh-huh.
And those are the ones we make bacon out of. But until they learn how to shoot guns, they're going to be bacon.
They don't have thumbs, which really hurts. I think we should do dolphins, lettuce, and tomatoes. If you're going by that standard, the sexual assault standard in the animal kingdom, it's the DLT, dolphin, lettuce, and tomato.
Mm. Serve it to me. I'll eat it.
I love it. Welcome to Side Stories, everyone. I am Ben, hanging out with the recently changed Henry Zebrowski, devolving in his culinary taste, going to the BLT,
devolving.
The sandwich that mothers make and fathers make their children when they're all out of meats. So no, there we go.
It's not devolving. I am just saying this is how boring quarantine life can get that I opened our show. Just because I, to be completely honest, I was just thinking about a BLT because I ran out of material for it.
Right,
of course. And that's what I call the bacon, tomato, and the lettuce. I ran out of my BLT bullets earlier today. Uh-huh. And I wish I could get them back. And the real key is to mix the mayonnaise with some very spicy Dijon.
Now, this is the question for you, because how white are you? Do you take a knife to spread the mayonnaise, or do you use a spoon? The real whites use a spoon. You get a lot of supple mayonnaise. You dollop it, and then you flatten it out with the bottom of the spoon. Do you do it like that?
Of course I do. Look at me. Look, have you seen my knees? Yes, of course I do. But what I'll do is I take a spoon, and maybe this is a lot to deal with at the very top of the show, is I will scoop the mayonnaise out with the spoon, and I put it on the thing, spread one layer of mayonnaise.
So nasty.
Suck the spoon
you
dry.
You are so gross, dude.
Put it into the mustard.
I would rather...
And then I put the mustard on top of it.
The story from last week's episode where the man ate his own dookie and flesh as he scooped it out of his body is less disgusting than what you just said.
I'm saving utensils in the kitchen.
You're doing something. All right, we got some fun stories, some weird stories, and some really weird, interesting, like what the hell is going on stories.
This country
this week
is flipping upside down. Woo! Right now there is, I mean, obviously we are locked inside, but that is not helping the world from endlessly churning.
No,
one thing is, have you been, we talked a little bit in various levels about the fireworks going off in major cities.
Yes.
And nobody has any fucking clue. They cannot get to the bottom of it.
Yes,
there are some people just saying it's normal human behavior from being trapped inside for months. Uh-huh. That it's literally a firing signal of people getting fireworks and shooting them up into the sky to say, like, hey, I'm here, I exist. There's other people that are saying that they are being spread by the police as a sort of psyop to keep people agitated and upset in order to drive down the protests. But it seems like the protests themselves they are rolling and going, but they don't need to be shut down. I think that it's now become a part of the American fabric.
Right.
But I wonder what's going on with this shit, because no one knows anything that's going on. I haven't heard anything else. Besides, some people are saying they've seen them being dropped out of vans. There's some people saying it's really high, powerful, like high class, super expensive fireworks that people are shooting off, not just M80s.
Dude, the fireworks shows are pretty great. On Juneteenth, as a matter of fact, I had a chance to participate. I had a sparkler, and they had all these cool ass fireworks, and it was awesome. And you know, it did scare Puffin a little bit, but he was brave. So I think for the most part it is people, but without a doubt there very well could be some NYPD, specifically here in New York, obviously, interaction, because we've seen videos of police blaring their sirens throughout the evening, driving slowly. There's something going on, without a doubt.
There's footage of cops also shooting off fireworks. And to be honest, my cop family, we did have a bunch of high class fireworks shooting them off in their neighborhood. But that was because my father used to take them from the evidence table, and he used to partner with the firemen down the street. But it was more of a street thing than of a protest smattering process.
How else are they going to know you're white trash unless you have a fireworks show right outside of your Queens home with your dad in his underwear, sipping a beer, just being like, oh,
That's nice. Look at this one right here. You can actually really blow your fucking hand off of one of these. He loves to do that. He loved to dare everyone. So that's just one thing. Floating out there. God knows what the fuck's going on. And then there's this other story that is just coming out right now, that it's about this. It's a home in Milwaukee. This house in Milwaukee, on June 23rd, it burnt down after a crowd of people suspected that there was sex trafficking coming out of this house. Now, this is I'm going to use the term quagmire.
It really is a quagmire. No, not the problematic character from Family Guy. The situation that is completely out of hand. In my home state of Wisconsin, Milwaukee, where I went to school, Milwaukee is a powder keg of tension, racial tension, police tension, economic tension. It has been for a long time. This home that people assumed or believed to be a pedophile ring, and what seems to be for good reason, there was was young girls in there, 14, 13, 15. They didn't know.
27 calls have happened to the home over the last, I'm going to say, like, different, how many years?
Over a series of months, I believe.
It was from 2020 to 2017. All sorts of shit. It's people looking for the, like, searching for welfare of a citizen. People saying that there was property damage, theft.
Yes.
Gunshots happened from inside of it. I mean, this is, it's a fucked up place. Someone even put up the real estate listing of the house.
Oh, really? What's it going for?
Inside of it, it is going for... Not anymore. They burned it down. Either the protesters or the cops did. Someone burnt it the fuck down. We don't know. It went for $42,000.
You can buy
your own sex trafficking hub for $42,000.
Is that how they
marketed it? I guess so. It's got two beds, two baths.
Hey, look at that. Just enough to keep 10 children. So these people in Milwaukee, because they're good people, they channeled their inner Nightmare on Elm Street. They channeled their inner small town vigilanteism. They said, we're going to go stop the pedophile ring, just as they did to Freddy. It ended up burning down. But we had two coinciding situations where there was a protest of the potential pedophile ring in the house. And then it turned to a protest of the police when the police arrived to be like, what the hell is going on with this huge crowd?
And well, they definitely didn't help. And we've talked about the less dead again and again and again. They've been talking about no one's been reporting how many missing kids have been going on in their neighborhood because it comes from a black neighborhood. So they've been saying, just like in Jeffrey Dahmer's day, it's like the shit has not changed at all, that people are just not report. They're not getting the proper police coverage that they're supposed to get.
There's
a
lot of mistrust.
They went looking for these two missing teenagers on their own.
A lot of mistrust. So we have the crowd. We have the potential pedophile ring house. Now we have the crowd clashing with the police. And in the middle of all of this, we have three shots fired. Two 14-year-olds were shot and a 24-year-old were shot within the home. So it was just...
I don't know what the hell is going on there. And there's footage
crazy of
people being led out of there. Some sort of either arrests or rescued were made. They believe that the two missing 14-year-olds that they were searching for have been found.
Yes, that was a 13-year-old and a 15-year-old, yeah.
Yes, and so whatever the hell was going on in the house, they have now burnt it down. Or now that's another they. That's another big amorphous they, because the police are saying that the protesters burnt the house down, and the protesters are saying the police helped burn it down. So who knows? It's just another just murky-ass situation that simply comes from the fact that they can't communicate and take care of their own neighborhoods. The police can't take care of their own neighborhoods, which is something that is it's just insane. I don't know what the hell's going on in the story, but that's just details pending.
This is according to Alfonso Morales, the Milwaukee police chief. He said, we had to go out there and now do a rescue in the middle of an angry crowd. So he acknowledged that this was a rescue mission. This was like the cops were going in there straight up like Liam Neeson, like, where's my daughter? Like, they were doing a rescue mission. He goes
on
to say...
Sure, but it took a crowd to build for them to get there.
Yeah, he goes on to say, this whole chain of events could have been avoided, and my heart goes out to the people who live in this community. We investigate the information that is given to us. We can't allow an unruly crowd to determine what the investigation is. He goes on to say, what you had today is vigilanteism. You had people take the law into their own hands and run off of information that has not yet been proven. We need to investigate that. That's what the police are here for. But it seems like the police, with just those few quotes from Morales, they call it a rescue mission. They call them vigilantes. So that seems to me like
something else.
But it seems like they might know something's real freaking sketchy is going on in this house.
Yes, but it also, you know, when it comes down to, people wouldn't have to be vigilantes if they were taking care of their jobs of being police officers. And we know that for a fact. And it's very, very difficult. But we will get to more of this story as more details come out.
Yep. He concluded saying, we have to be allowed to conduct our investigation, not chase a crowd and take that information from that crowd to be factual. So hopefully we can actually figure out what the hell happened. Was this truly a stop along the road? It's in the middle of the country. Is this part of I don't want to sound conspiratorial, but at the end of the day, there is a massive pedophile ring somewhere.
There is a massive pedophile ring.
These children show up at parties is from somewhere.
I don't fucking know, man. I mean, we talked about Pizzagate in the past and about how it was an unnecessary distraction from the real stories.
Right.
Jeffrey Epstein's fucking end, whatever the fuck happened to him, right? Whether he was murdered or allowed to commit suicide, whatever happened in that whole story is a complete total clusterfuck. He was the central hub of it. We have all of these people. You got Don Cheadle in there?
Whoa, Don Cheadle?
He went on Air Fuck One once.
Oh, you know, you look at the list. There was a lot of names on there. A lot of names. And I don't know
what Don Cheadle's doing, but I'm going to say I need Don Cheadle. I need him to be good.
He's your celebrity break. Like, everyone has, like, if I hear something about Tom Hanks, my entire belief in the human spirit is shattered. And actually, Tom Hanks, I think, is the universal one.
I only suspect Tom Hanks because of that.
I will not even allow you to smear the good name of Tom Hanks, even in jest.
It's just we are really uncovering a lot of shit during this time period.
Yeah,
it's like the fucking trash can lid of this country's coming up, and we're seeing all the old stinky cum covered socks come to life at the bottom of it.
I wonder if this is something that's been going on since the dawn of time in this country.
It has,
or if this is something that literally is a product of a certain generation. It seems like, I'm not saying all boomers are pedophiles. I would never cast a wide net like that. But do you
know, my father loved MILFs.
Yes, I know he loved
MILFs. And he's passed it down to me. He passed it down to me.
A very strange fetish. I would be with you, but you don't have a kid. It's a very strange thing.
That's how we found my mom. My mom was... with a woman with a child.
Do you want to do that?
And he fell in love with. He fell in love with her. And he gave me that passion as well.
I found the perfect gal. She has a child. That's disgusting, sir. Or do you think that, I mean, honestly, this whole thing, because it seems like this is now organized. There has to be a series of chains. There has to be a series of different handlers. You know, I mean, it's human smuggling, for Christ's sake.
Yes.
And we have it here. We had a story here in Staten Island where a girl was drugged and then raped multiple times. They kept her drugged for a series of days. She ended up being able to escape. We know this happens. And I'm just wondering if this house, if this house was ordered to be burnt down to get rid of evidence or whatever it is.
It sounds like
it. It's just very bizarre.
It's very bizarre, and it's just getting to the point where how much smoke is there going to be before we say that there's a fire? Like, it just, there's so many of these weird, but it's about making those connections.
Right.
Is that how do you make a connection saying that there is an actual organized network, or is it a bunch of fun little franchises all popping up everywhere just doing whatever it is? But you know, my true belief system is that there was flares of the quote unquote Illuminati. Like this idea, there was flares of it. There was the real Bavarian Illuminati. There were secret schools back in the day. They kind of come up and down in terms of relevance as the years go. But I really think a lot of it's got to do with literature that came out about the Illuminati earlier on. And then billionaires and millionaires and celebrities and all these people essentially play acting the content about the Illuminati and therefore making it real. Like they are making the trappings of the Illuminati real by acting like that. When Bezos becomes a trillionaire, things are going to have a different tenor around him. What is his life? How does he view himself? He must definitely view himself as separate from human beings, right? At some point, you begin to believe that this money is going to make you somebody far superior. That's what this is all about. They just view it as a bunch of cogs in the machine, juicing shit for them, and eventually they're going to leave our dying planet on these giant ships. The SpaceX stuff going up is just a dry run to show that they can leave anytime they want.
But as I've said before, they got nothing up there. I think they're going to send the poor people up there. They're going to send you and I up there. Because what are we going to do? Kick rocks on Mars? There ain't nothing to do. It's not going to be like Total Recall. There's not going to be three-breasted sex workers. There's not going to be cool bars yet. It's just going to be a vast wasteland.
Well,
and it'll be sad.
If they want to keep... They want to keep their worker bees happy. There will be three bested people up there.
Okay? I know.
It comes down to it. Give me, again, pitch me, sell me on my permanent stasis on Mars. Well, make me convinced to be there. We could run a comedy club on Mars.
Sure. Oh my God, I can't wait for, I don't even know, what's the name of Muffled Yucks? I have no idea what the name of comedy clubs are.
Muffled Yucks sounds like a comedy club at one of these pedophile ring complexes.
You know, it is the foster care system. You know, that's as far as systemic child peddling. Oftentimes, the foster care system, you know, these kids go missing within the system. And where do they end up? Perhaps on these planes with billionaires going to an island to be mistreated and treated horribly. So there's a lot of stuff going on. And we will continue.
All I know is that if I had
it.
A fucking child, and I don't have, we're not gonna have a child. But if I did have a child, that child would be fucking. It sounds terrible, but just chained in the home.
Well, you
I
can't
would just
do
keep
that.
It, that's keep
that,
safe.
That's what the guy
I just
did.
Have a chain to me.
You can't just
yeah,
chain it to the house. That child.
I
is,
know.
That is literally what they do to kids who are being sex trafficked.
But I'd be doing it fun. I'd be having fun with it, and I'd be saying this is for their own good. I know, again, that sounds like Ariel Castro.
Well,
it still all sounds bad.
It really
does. That's
why
Wendy doesn't go to the dog park anymore.
That's because there's a fundemic going on.
Oh, I forgot. It's a fundemic.
The only acceptable reason to interrupt a podcast? Your dog. That was your dog. Saying thank you for BarkBox. You can take a minute now. You pet your dog. You're going to learn about Bark. It's the company dedicated to making dogs happy. Yay! Every month, BarkBox designs and delivers a whole new collection of toys and treats just for your best bud. No, Wendy, I can't get you a whip. You're too cute for weapons. Every treat is made with yummy, healthy, all-natural ingredients like pumpkin and sweet potato. Mmm, tubers! My dogs love their toys selectively, but BarkBox sends good little ones for their little tiny mouths. They have little mouths, but strong, big spirits. So they fight over the little toys. I imagine they think that they are hunting and going after little bugs and rats. And oh, they love their life and they love them. They love what BarkBox brings because BarkBox brings the bark and puts it in a box. Yep. To get your free upgrade, go to BarkBox.com/LEFT.
My sister is the best gift giver I've ever met of any person. It's Jackie Zabrowski. She shops all year thinking about her family and friends and puts little things aside for their birthdays and Christmases. I have no idea how she does it. I don't know how she do it. But guess what? She always wins Mother's Day, but not this year. I'm coming back. Ready to win Mother's Day and cement your reputation as the best gift giver in the family? I'm taking the crown! All right, give the moms in your life an Aura digital picture frame preloaded with decades of family photos. I mean this. We have the Aura frame up in my home. We absolutely love it. I can put photos on it very, very easily through the app. It's fun to do. And the memories keep cycling and I get emotional. And we filled it with pictures of Carmi and Wendy. And that is not sad. That is celebratory. So you should try it. It's honestly a really good product. Right now, Aura has a great deal for Mother's Day. Listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting AuraFrames.com to get $30 off plus free shipping on their best-selling frame. That's AuraFrames.com. Use code LEFT at checkout to save. Terms and conditions apply.
Every day, I fight to set my child up for success, which is why, as I sit and read Carmi and Wendy Dune, trying to explain to them the concepts of the savior complex not working, doubling back on itself, the concept of what does it mean to be a living God? What are those limitations? What are those expectations? And honestly, I know they just want chicken. But there are kids out there that need this type of direct help. And IXL Learning is an online learning program for kids covering math, language arts, science, and social studies. IXL is designed to help them understand and master topics in a fun way. Not unlike me, reading children, Dune Messiah, getting to about 365, seeing where they're at. See if they understand anything. There's no more grading these worksheets. IXL grades everything itself.
One in four students in the U.S. are learning with IXL. IXL is used in 95 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. You can't even believe it! You don't want to make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And Last Podcast on the Left listeners could get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXL.com/left. Visit IXL.com/left to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
Well, Henry, do you want to hear a fun story?
Yes, I do. Please. Because, you know, please let it be fun. Please don't say that you want to hear a fun story and then have it be like something awful.
Well, last week you mentioned in an email that they don't want you talking about sounding anymore. Apparently people are very sensitive.
They're done with it.
Well, I guess this is sounding adjacent. This is from The Mirror, which is like my favorite little rag over there in the UK. The headline reads, "Leech crawls inside elderly man's penis and drinks pint of blood." So the leech went to a little human bar. I guess the entrance is the penis. And then it sat down, pulled up a chair, and drank a pint of blood.
Hey, put me a pint. That's got to, oh, good Lord. Just have a good old fashioned. I like the notes of pennies in there.
It's very, very bad.
Try to explain to what fucking happened here.
All right, so this old man,
how big was this old man's fucking penis hole? Well,
I don't know. He's a Cambodian fella. He went to the doctor.
Oh, I thought you said it was in the UK. I thought that this was from the UK. No, this is all right.
No, the mirror is from the UK. So doctors in Cambodia, they say the patient went for a dip without any clothes. So he went skinny dipping like all good old men should do.
Don't judge, because that's how we're going to be.
Hey,
we will be nude old men at the beach.
And so he left the lake with extreme pain. And he's like, what the hell is going on? And then he went to the doctor. And then scans showed the parasite had allegedly wound up parts of the man's internal organs with its sharp teeth. There's a picture of it. It is huge.
Yeah. How do you not know that it's going up there? Straight up, how are you surprised by it?
I think, honestly, after 80 years of pissing, I think things just get looser. I feel like we've all been in the YMCA gym and you see the old man dong. Old man dong, sure. Gravity is very kind to the flaccid penis in some ways. Drags it down.
Sort of. No, it makes it look like a fucking Salvador Dali painting. Like, it doesn't look better. It's not like it's longer and girthier. It starts to look like a sleeve.
It does. Absolutely. Like a turtleneck on a shelf.
But at the same time, you got a leech just touching the tip. I want to say that I don't care how old and out of touch I am with my own penis. I am going to feel it go like, hey, hello, hello, as it starts going up the tube.
I think when you get older, like, shit, you're just more relaxed about shit. So this dude, he says, so this is what the hospital say. They stuck a tiny little camera up his urethra. So there you go. A little sounding information. I don't think he liked this, though. And then they used another tool called a bipolar resectoscope. Resectoscope.
Why did they put all this in the article? Just to prove that they went and found out what these tools are called?
Because the Mirror has to pretend like they're not just writing an article about a leech that crawled up a dude's cock. Because they have to pretend like, no, there's a medical explanation.
This is science.
But it was complicated because the leech had swollen in size, taking up 500 milliliters of blood. It sucked from the man's testicle. Not balls.
They are balls or organs.
Yeah. Well, I guess, but the ball, I don't think you could get to the balls through the, I don't know how it works.
I went to Catholic school. Truly.
Yeah.
I don't know. I know that there's the vesicles, the vans deferens.
Sure.
But I don't know if a leech can get through the Van Stefferens.
Well, maybe if he asks real nice. So this is according to a statement. They said the waters are rich with the waters are rich with leeches and other insects during the raising season. During the rainy season.
Can we
season.
Just say poor with leeches?
I don't know.
Does it really have to be rich? I guess not, because a lot of rich people are leeches. But just the idea of it just being, you know what I would use? Chock full.
It is. So the dude stayed the overnight in the hospital. He stayed overnight in the hospital, and then he's just fine now. I guess he just, you just laugh it off. There's a picture of the doctors all around him holding the leech like they just killed an elephant in Africa. They're like
it's a fucking prize. Like they went and did big game hunting in this fucking old man's cock.
So, you know, that's actually a feel good story. So, you know what? You don't have a leech up your penis right now, do you? So.
You know fundemic. What? It really does make me at least know that, yes, it can be a fundemic without a leech inside of my penis.
But
and you know what it might have been the size of? Have you seen the pictures of Loch Ness Monster?
Yeah.
This is some pretty good fucking little juice. Dude. From the Daily Record. Loch Ness Monster spotted by Walker as new pics spark Nessie debate. Now, a tourist has captured an incredible series of photographs that have sparked online claims that he has snapped a picture of the Loch Ness Monster. Now, it is a picture of a very big fish.
Okay, you say big fish, but isn't the Loch Ness Monster a very big fish?
We don't know. There's been many attempts to find the Loch Ness Monster. One recent attempt is because they were trying to say maybe it was a plesiosaur or something that existed inside of the water that managed to escape extinction, lived like deep in the caverns of the loch.
Right.
But then someone did this sort of like DNA test on the waters of the Loch Ness to show.
Really ain't no dinosaur DNA in this one.
Like he was in one of these. And I don't know how they know that.
But they said there was.
They licked it. I don't fucking know. They just dip their cocks at it because they don't wear underwear over there. Just nothing but skirts. And so I have no clue. But they said they didn't find anything like of a big animal. But they think what it could be. So according to the story, Steve Chalice from Southampton was on holiday in Scotland in September with his brother last year when they decided to visit Urquhart Castle on the banks of the famous loch.
Nailed it.
Spotting the chance to get away from the majority of the other tourists who had just arrived in a couple of coaches, Steve explained that he initially photographed the opposite shore when he saw a sort of ripple in the water.
Ooh.
According at first, he spotted what he assumed at the time was some sort of fish. He said, I started taking a couple of shots, and then this big fish, he came to the surface, and then he went back down again. It only appeared in one shot, and to be honest, it was a bit of a fluke. That's funny. That's a fish joke.
That is kind of funny. When you said a ripple appeared, I just couldn't stop thinking, like, what are you trying to fuck me, Lake? You want to fuck me? You know, it seems like the lake is really courting.
But he says this picture, according to this thing, he estimated, do you think that this thing was about 30 feet away. It's about 8 foot long.
Okay. Well, how big is the monster supposed to be?
Don't know. I don't know.
Because
until now it was fake.
But like, yeah, right?
You know what I mean?
Because the original famous picture is like the guy who took it was like, yeah, I set it all up. It's like a Coke can with a bunch of toilet paper or whatever. Like, we know that's a fake picture, right?
He faked it. He faked it because he went to, it's a long story. There's that famous picture of Nessie of that lizard's head coming out of the Loch Ness. And I believe the story was it was faked by a hunter. This like guy that was told to go find the Loch Ness Monster, he basically came and wrote this article. I forget this. I want to say this was like the 1800s. He basically said, I couldn't find the Loch Ness Monster. They then fucking roasted him, saying like, you bitch. And he's just like, you told me to go look for it, and I didn't find it. So he faked it, getting his surgeon. He wanted to ask his buddy. He's like, oh, you go and we'll fake all these pictures, and then you'll come and say, we'll tell everyone, this doctor, he's a doctor that we interview, we'll show everybody that we got these pictures of Loch Ness Monster. It turns out the doctor was a gynecologist, which is really fun.
That's a major doctor, though. That's a very important doctor. The only doctors I don't trust
very
are dentists
important.
Because I don't think they're actually doctors. But I've talked about that on Kind of Fun, the wrestling podcast.
And I think that's just more of a personal prejudice.
It is a personal prejudice. I haven't been to the dentist in 15 years. I still have all of my teeth. I feel healthy. My mouth feels good.
You should go to the dentist, you don't know what's in there.
Well, I'm currently brushing because this is the only thing they had at my deli where I buy all of my goods and all of my needs. I have a pink, I believe it's not a My Little Pony toothbrush, but it's got little pink hearts on it and it's electronic. And the guy laughed at me when I bought it, but it was the only toothbrush he had. And I said, technically, that's your fault. I didn't buy this. You don't have any other toothbrushes. So yes, I have a pink vibrating toothbrush right now, but I'm a man.
Well, yeah, I think you technically purchased a pedophile tracker.
What?
But also, if anybody ever tells you, like, to make fun of you for a little, like, pink toothbrush, why don't you just be like, you think it makes me less of a man? And just grab him, just slam his head against the fucking counter.
Yes, that's what I would do. That's why I felt no insecurity buying.
It's just a toothbrush. It doesn't make you weak.
Why are you saying it toothbrush. Like you're, I know
I'm
that
not mad
already.
At you.
It seems like you're saying that, but it seems like you have sort of a bias behind the words.
No, you don't know. I'm mad at the guy for shaming you for just getting an innocuous toothbrush. Like, I'm mad about how many times, even though we've go to Boston, how much I love Boston, how many times I've been called the F word walking down the street because I wear shorts that are 2 inches above my knees.
There are certain places in this country, Henry, where people don't appreciate you. I remember when you were filming, I forget what it was. I think it was a TV show in Florida, and they would not seat you at the bar. This is
because I had my little goldenrod shorts on, my fun boy shorts on. I had my shorts on. I had a purple shirt open. It was 95 degrees outside. I was feeling free. I was feeling easy.
Florida.
I was being in from the West Coast.
Florida is full of the most eclectic, and I say this word with love, trash in this country. I love good trash people, and Florida is the creme de la creme. And the fact that you
basically said my kind couldn't sit in the restaurant. And I was like, you mean an eater? You mean a big old fucking eater that would fucking sit here and spend a bunch of money on stupid booze and eat a bunch of hors d'oeuvres with me and my fun friends?
If it wasn't so completely inappropriate, I would like to Photoshop you at the lunch table as everyone's screaming at you and be like, he's a real civil rights hero for short, fat Polish men who wear extremely tight shorts. But I think it would be misunderstood.
It would be.
So the Loch Ness Monster, who the hell knows?
We don't know. There's some people just saying it's a catfish.
Yeah, because then there's a picture of someone who seems to have caught the fish from the picture because they looked at the markings from the picture, and it seems like it was a 286-pound catfish, which are freaking scary, dude.
Man, they are scary. They'll eat anything, but I tell you what, I like me some catfish.
I'll deep fry it. That's not a problem.
Yeah, that's the only way to have it, man. Ooh, I like a deep fried catfish. I think about it all the time.
It's just strange. We've talked about this. Some fish are too ugly to eat, and catfish are kind of up there for me. But of course, if someone serves me a catfish, I will eat it. Although,
yeah, you're not looking at its face. You don't know what it looks like. You know, it's not like a fly. It's not like you had to reach into a tank and pull it out.
No, speaking of Salvador Dali. Catfish are sort of the Dalis of the sea with their little whiskers.
Kind of fun.
All right.
I quit. I quit the show.
Boy, Texas Pete is a sauce that allows you to sauce like you mean it. It's what people gather around. It's generosity in its simplest form, and it's a swagger people have who know what's good. Each Texas Pete hot sauce is packed with bold, balanced flavor. This signature tanginess is what makes it a legendary hot sauce that can be used on just about anything. It's been at the center of dinner tables since 1929 and is still heating things up today. You're definitely going to want to try every flavor. The original hot sauce has a famous secret blend of fermented peppers. The hotter hot sauce is 3 times hotter than the original, and not for the faint of heart. Sabor by Texas Pete adds authentic Mexican flavor, and their dust-dry seasoning matches the flavor of the original hot sauce and a flavorful dry rub. Tell you what, the other day I was having myself a good old refried bean burrito, and I wanted a little bit of kick to my morning, so I got myself some Texas Pete Sriracha sauce, and I smothered those refried beans and that cheese and them eggs in a whole bunch of and it started off my day correct. Texas Pete, sauce like you mean it. Visit TexasPete.com and use the store locator to find Texas Pete products as well as purchase sauces and get recipe inspiration. And use the promo code PODCAST24 for 20% off at TexasPete.com.
This podcast is brought to you by Squarespace. Finding work-life balance can be tough, but Squarespace gives you the tools to reach your goals and have time to celebrate. Squarespace is the all-in-one website platform for entrepreneurs to stand out and succeed online. With the new guided design system, Squarespace Blueprint, you can select from curated layout and styling options to create a personalized website optimized for every device. Get your website discovered fast with integrated, optimized SEO tools. Plus, make checkout easy for customers with easy-to-use payment tools. And with Squarespace AI, you can explain what your site is about, choose your tone, enter what you need, and get auto-generated text. And that helps you save time. I know I'm sitting on about two literal wheelbarrows filled with horse pics. Now, part of the issue has been is a lot of these pictures are getting stopped at customs because some of them do depict various world leaders in horse-like circumstances that seems to be pinging a lot of these custom agents' accounts. Now, so what I've done to do is like, so while I'm trying to work on hand smuggling these horse pics over various country borders, I then also have time, because Squarespace is doing all the other ad work for me, to go and work on my killdozer at home. So thank you, Squarespace, for allowing me to diversify in the best way possible for this country. Head to squarespace.com for a free trial when you're ready to launch. Go to squarespace.com/left to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain.
Hey! Did you know Fast Growing Trees is the biggest online nursery in the U.S. with more than 10,000 different kinds of plants and over 2 million happy customers in the U.S.? They have everything you could possibly want, like fruit trees, palm trees, evergreens, houseplants, and so much more. Whatever you're interested in, they have it for you. Find the perfect fit for your climate and space. That's one of my favorite things about it. Fast Growing Trees makes it easy to order online, and your plants are shipped directly to your door in 1 to 2 days. And along with their 30-day Alive and Thrive guarantee, they offer free plant consultation forever. Now, personally, I'm in the middle of re-landscaping my yard. I like to do it myself because I called up a landscaper to see how much it cost, and it was absolutely insane. Plus, I love dirt. I love getting my hands in the dirt, and I love planting things myself. And Fast Growing Trees has given me some wonderful plants that I can use. Like, I got this Texas sage, it's purple. I've dug up a whole bunch of horrible bushes and shrubs up in front of my window and in front of my house and put some purple Texas sage up there, and it's going to thrive, and it's going to look real good. And I didn't even have to go to a nursery to buy it. It came to my house. Now, this spring, they have the best deals online, up to half off on select plants and other deals. And listeners to our show get an additional 15% off their first purchase when using the code LEFT at checkout. That's an additional 15% off at fastgrowingtrees.com using the code LEFT at checkout. Fastgrowingtrees.com, code LEFT. Offers valid for a limited time. Terms and conditions may apply.
One thing I do want to say is, there's a lot of the UFO community that's pushing for disclosure right now. And I'm going to say, hey, maybe let's get past all the national turmoil for a second and then we'll get the disclosure. This is me saying
okay.
This. But the main, it is interesting who's calling for it, because the big one is Mark Rubio. Mark Rubio is obsessed.
Oh, you mean Marco Rubio.
What I call him?
Mark Rubio. Yeah, Marco Rubio. Yeah, yeah.
I didn't mean to take away his identity.
I don't freaking care.
Senate Intelligence Committee confirms the U.S. Navy has a UFO task force. All right, so Marco Rubio, he wants a detailed analysis of unidentified aerial phenomena data and intelligence reporting collected or held by the Office of Naval Intelligence, including data and intelligence reporting held by the Unidentified Aerial Phenomena Task Force. So now they're saying there is one.
You know what,
which
Henry?
Is very, very interesting.
I actually agree with you from this point of view, where I think it's great. Ufologists, that's 24/7, you know, 365. You don't take a pandemic break. You do that.
You get into the work. Yes,
we got 30 million people unemployed. We have massive deficits. The country is literally on fire.
Police are fucking are run rampant. Everybody's like,
I don't know if Marco Rubio needs to be focusing on this right now.
That is just all I'm saying. And this is me saying from the bottom of my, and it just makes me really, sad to say it, but he did technically go out of his way to essentially identify that there is a UAP task force that is happening, that they are in the middle of it. It's just wild, man. The news just doesn't fucking stop, because then also the Japanese government just had to come out and say that there is this giant balloon. This just big old white balloon, no one's identifying it. just flying around above, I believe it's Zendai, Japan.
Cool.
It was earlier last week. It is just this weird craft, and nobody is claiming it.
No kidding. And of course, we also have the rise of the Space Force, which you would think was a mockery to everything, because literally the symbol that they use is the Star Trek symbol. They are.
This is the kind of shit I'm talking about retrofitting pop culture and making it real.
Right.
This is
right.
The kind of stuff where it's weird. It becomes like, what is influencing what? Like, yes, yeah. They're saying it's just like the Starfleet, but what if the kind of it's there's a weird other idea of like, that's making the Starfleet real.
It is in a way.
It's they're trying to, but Starfleet. I don't know if you remember, they were trying to look for diplomatic, like actual solutions.
Yeah,
to galactic
but Henry, every
problems.
Single episode there was a fight.
Not well. Sometimes there was kisses, and sometimes there was puzzles, and sometimes they all had to sit and think. I am not as into TNG as Marcus is.
Yes,
but it's definitely one of those where they were searching for talkable answers. Where I think the Space Force is looking to just shoot rockets.
Well, that is
at planets.
That is the point. They've just called for a bunch of new weapons. The U.S. Army. They've asked for 155 million artillery rounds that can be put through a building window at 18.6 miles. That is how far from damn near 20 miles away they can just put a bullet through a window. And these bullets are like the size of like Tommy pistols, ding dong. These are huge bullets. And it
you
is,
know what they're trying to do? Well, you know that's how they do the bunker destroyers, too.
Yes,
one
yes.
of the big thing to go against secret bunkers. I don't know if I've talked about this on the show, but the idea is they would fly up satellites up into the sky with big poles attached to them. And then they just let the pole go and it would fly through the atmosphere and pierce into these underground bunkers.
Yep, that is one thing we have in spades. We are very good at killing. We're the best at it. So they
we
also,
are the best at it.
They've also ordered U.S. Air Force B-2 bombers. They can pinpoint enemy air defenses with precision weapons from 50,000 feet. And U.S. Navy ships miles apart can coordinate attacks across vast swaths of open ocean. So it looks like this, like Space Force meets ufology thing, is kind of coming together in a weird way. And I really hope that the better side of humanity wins and we don't just start trying to kill whatever entities we find, because they're probably going to be better than us and then they're going to be really mad.
We need to understand that there are actual physical nuts and bolts. Other entities that come from another galaxy, physically, they are going to kill us. So
do you think do you think like we come in peace? Do you think that they don't?
I think that everyone, the idea, there's a human-centered problem, right? With the idea of the way we view aliens and other entities.
Right.
This idea that they would have anywhere close to the same values of and in any way, shape, or form. We have no fucking clue what their agenda is. We have no clue
I don't even know what our values
like
are
to them. I don't know.
I can't tell.
I don't fucking know. Fucking shoot first, ask questions later.
I think get rich or die trying. I think that's the main value that we have as a people.
Yes, and we don't know what we're asking for when we are saying like, hi, Mr. Alien.
Right.
Ah! Like, we don't know what we're asking for. We don't know what the other side. If this, we talked about last week, the tall whites like you and then the national history of tall whites, which
Thank
is not
you.
Very good. But the tall whites
what?
Within, are actually very peaceful. They believe that they're trying to help us. But it's just not so much peaceful as it's neutral. Like the tall whites just kind of, they exist in a relationship with humankind that they basically, we need to benefit from any arrangement that we do. So there's some sort of mutual benefaction going on.
All right.
I just made up a word.
I mean, hey, it seems more likely now than ever before. Disclosure, as we've said before, is in the air. If you're
in
the government,
please
take care of a whole bunch of other stuff first.
Let's just get to it first, because I want to be. But you know, I honestly, I just don't want Trump getting it.
All right. Well, I mean, you could just see him holding the head of Glorglack or whatever in a presser. And again, listen to Abe Lincoln's Top Hat if you want to keep up to date on politics. This past week, we had a great conversation about armed guards in schools. Turns out, not really working out. So no, we will be talking about the prison industrial complex this week.
Also, give yourself a true crime dose this week. Go look at Dateline. They have the new update on Chad Daybell, Lori Vallow. Yes. You basically learn that the way that he covered up the possible murder of the Lori Vallow's daughter was that he said that he shot a raccoon. And so he had to tell his wife, because he was still married at the time when Tylee had went missing.
Uh-huh.
And he buried a bunch of shit in his backyard in their pet cemetery, which is where they believe that they found the two bodies.
Oh.
It is this whole thing. It is fucking wild. And when you go and watch the original coverage of the Dateline,
yeah,
and you see that footage of them in Hawaii coming out all tan, just being like smirking, their little smirks, holding each other's hands, coming out of the hotel, and then you realize like they had two skeletons of her children underneath his house, like right next to his house that entire time, and they were all acting as if they were like skirting the cameras like they were the fucking paparazzi.
Absolutely disgusting.
Very sinister. It becomes immediately sinister.
Absolutely. Well, speaking of people who were arrested and the U.S. military, just briefly here, a U.S. soldier, his name is Ethan Melzer. He was accused of planning an attack on his own unit. But the strangest thing, I mean, obviously that's strange, but the thing that kind of sets this one apart is evidently he had a relationship with an occult-based neo-Nazi and racially motivated extremist group, which I didn't really know. It's a lot. It's just a mouthful there. He was allegedly planning the...
The group is called the Order of the Nine Angles. This is the ONA. Has been around since the 60s and the 70s. It is a theistic Satanist group. They believe that they worship the devil and that they are fascists. They're straight up fascists. Right. And they believe in creating... And I don't know what this story is. We have Order of the Nine Angles is in the last podcast time, like pipeline.
Yeah,
we
are going to cover them. This group. So the order calls for the overthrow of the West's Judeo-Christian order, and it encourages members to isolate themselves from society. So they're having a fundemic. They commit crimes and embrace political extremism. New followers must spend at least 6 months in, quote, insight roles, a practice of infiltrating and subverting other religious groups or organizations like police and army. The group maintains a decentralized structure, so it's hard to estimate the true size, but its ideology is having a resurgence
in Europe. What was it? The committee or commission with a K, I believe, is the way that they talk about it. And they just don't, because they don't have a centralized hub. It's that anybody so who kind of wants to be a member of the ONA can be.
This is Private Melzer. He wrote to O9A members that he was, quote, risking my literal free life by disclosing this information. He says, I am expecting results. Members of the Order of the Nine Angels, or Angles, also known as O9A, have expressed admiration for both Nazis, Hitler, and Islamic jihadists such as Osama bin Laden. So they're really bringing a lot together here.
They're bringing a lot together, and the love of the, and you know, but I love the concept of Satan and the idea of just trying to be illuminated and be, that's the idea, is that instead of like not worrying about being constantly dictated to by some authority that's supposed to tell you everything that you're supposed to know, it's about researching things on your own. It's about honesty. Right. It's talk about a subversion of the subversive.
Yeah, it's definitely a perversion of, you know, all good, rational, independent thinking, obviously. And of course, but, secular
humanism. I want to get deep into Order of the Nine Angles. We're going to do that in the last podcast.
All right, cool. So anyway, this guy has been arrested. He has openly said he's a traitor. This is what the FBI assistant director, William F. Sweeney, has to say. He says, Melzer declared himself to be a traitor against the United States and described his own conduct as tantamount to treason. We agree. A little FBI joke there. And so there you go. This guy has been busted. It wouldn't be the first time we've seen a soldier attack his own squad, but this one has a different reason than the previous ones, which is actually more some Islamic extremism, and then also just some people who have severe PTSD in war. They have also attacked their counterparts.
Oh, yeah,
but
dude.
It's very scary.
It is very, very scary.
Also,
it's very, very scary.
If you're gonna choose to like kill a group of people, that's a hard target. That's a straight up Jeff, Jean-Claude, not Jeff Van Damme. That guy just works at Subway. But
Jeff Van Damme. He works at the ice cream truck that he drives around Jean-Claude's fucking neighborhood.
It could have been so successful.
Being like, will you please remember your cousin Jeff?
Oh, poor guy. My nuts hurt every time I watch Jean-Claude Van Damme do the splits. He's very good at it. He's very confident when he does it. But then I realized he's very short. He's only like 5'5". It's easier to do stuff that.
That's not true. I'm fucking 5'7". I can't even fucking do a split.
No, but you can do it. You can do different things with your body because it's easier because you're tinier.
Yeah, I can sit for 5 hours at a time.
Yeah, like a ninja. Very cool. all right. Well, let's see here. Let's just hop to Hero of the Week. What do you think?
Let's do it.
All right. This week's Hero of the Week. It's a simple story. It's a beautiful story. It's a story of longevity. The world's oldest golden retriever named Augie celebrated her 20th birthday. Golden retrievers are only supposed to live to 10 to 12 years. I'm sorry if you own one right now. Forget that. Exit that out of your brain. They're never going to die. That's what I do when I look at Puffin and I look at Jerry. I say, they're here forever. I'm sure you do the same thing with Wendy. That doesn't exist.
Oh, no. Well, the idea is to just clone her and replace her the next day and act as if she never died.
This is one of those moments, Henry, where you're Hollywood Henry Zebrowski. The clone, isn't that what Susan Sarandon, somebody did that.
Barbara Streisand.
You can't just clone the dog, Henry.
I mean, we got to figure out something.
So,
because I don't know what I'm going to do. All right, I'm like upset. I'm viscerally upset you even mentioned it, even thinking about it.
Well, Augie was born April 24th, 2000, and was rehomed twice during that time. She's had a hell of a life. The couple who were active in their local Golden Retriever Rescue Organization adopted her when she was 14 years old, believing people may be unwilling to take such an elderly dog. So it's just very cute. This story comes from June 24th, and she's 20. She has her 20th birthday, and she's surrounded by all of her siblings, Sherman, Belle, and Bruce. And what I love the most about Augie is she kind of looks like Marge Schott. I'm not saying she's racist, but I'm saying she's grumpy as hell. She looks very grumpy. She is.
Yeah, she made it to 20.
She definitely looks like she is ready to be euthanized. But you know what?
She's like, please get me out of here.
That's Hero of the Week is Augie the Golden Retriever, but it's also longevity, the will to live. I watched an interview with a woman who was 109. She said the key to longevity is wanting to die. Because she said God never gave her what she wanted.
Oh my God.
So that's.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
That's 40 chess right there. That's 40 chess.
Yeah, so, you got to fool God.
So, Augie, you are this week's Hero of the Week. Congratulations on being so cute for 20 long years. She's been there as long as we've been in Iraq.
That's just another depressing fact. This is also like, this is a sad episode.
It's fundemic.
All right. Here's a funny story. This is a cute listener email that I enjoyed. Let me first say that I am not psychic, but I have had psychic dreams. And more specifically, I have the complete worthless ability to locate missing snakes in my sleep. Let me explain. My brother always had pet snakes. And because he was a shitty pet owner, his snakes would frequently escape their cages. My family would look for the snake for hours, checking under couches and beds, etc., but to no avail. On one occasion, I was taking a nap in my room, and in my sleep, I could hear my mom and brother arguing about one of the snakes escaping. I was in that state where you're still asleep but half awake, and you can hear the outside world, like when you sleep through your alarm clock for a full hour. As I hear them arguing, I dreamt that the snake was hiding behind one of the curtains in my parents' room, specifically the left curtain and the window farthest from the door. I wake up, roll out of bed, saunter into a bedroom, past the first window, head for the specific curtain I dreamt about. I whip it away, and sure enough, there's the snake.
Oh.
Found it, I called to them. My mom and brother ran into the room dumbfounded. I explained to them that I heard them arguing in my sleep and dreamt the exact location of the snake. Needless to say, it was stupefied. A short little while later, my brother's snake escaped again.
What?
Once again, they looked everywhere with no luck. My family jokingly said I should try to dream where it was. You know, then you're like, oh, you're going to fucking roast me? I found the last snake. Sure enough, I did. I dreamt that it was at the top shelf of my closet, some 6 feet up, which of course would be impossible. So I didn't even bother to look.
Right.
Almost a month later, I was cleaning out my closet and start to take the box down on the top shelf, and then I hear a hiss. I panic and drop the box, and as I do, his snake lunges out from inside it and hits me in the head. I wish I could say I didn't throw it at the wall, but I did. It was a reflex. It was fine. Okay. And luckily, snakes can go a long period of time without eating, so despite being on top of that shelf for over a month, it lived for many years after that.
Wow.
I know at one point that box was on the floor. My mother must have put it in the top shelf of my closet. That's the only way I can imagine it got up there. So to put it simply, I'm psychic. But no only kidding. When it comes to missing snakes.
Well, I mean, I'm sure that there's someone with a missing snake out there right now that could use your help, buddy.
And he also said that basically, belts look like snakes. So maybe next time my belt goes, he can help dream it.
That's a great point.
Better.
Yeah.
I'm going to hit him up.
Have you had, I mean, obviously you're in a slightly different location than you were. Have you noticed any gnome activity?
No, not yet.
Okay.
Not yet. All right. So here we go. This called Ben's Prophecy.
Oh.
On 6/20, Ben tweeted a prophecy that everyone who sleeps on a MyPillow will have nightmares of a fat man screaming at them.
Yes.
And I promised to report back. So here I am.
Whoa.
First, I'd like to make a small disclaimer. I did not purchase the MyPillow. My girlfriend's mom is the kind of person who, unless otherwise instructed, buys people as seen on TV items as gifts.
Mm.
Thoughtful though she is, we have received a few duds over the years. So it came to pass that my girlfriend received the MyPillow and outright rejected it once her mom had gone home. I am the kind of person who can sleep on pretty much anywhere under any condition. So to me, it was just a free pillow. I've used it for a while. It's fine. Nothing revelatory about it. Just kind of a lumpy pillow. Anyways, last night I did dream a bit, and in one dream, Henry appeared in full Your Pretty Face is Going to Hell and was ranting about something. I didn't think it was directed at me specifically. I'm not sure, more or less. It just seemed to be listening sympathetically and nodding as he went on. So it's light on interesting details, but I doubt anyone actually cares much anyway.
Well, there you go. Prophecy, see, this guy.
The important thing is, as written, so did the prophecy come to pass.
I love it. And that man now gets to experience what it's like to be with Henry 3 o'clock in the morning in a dive bar in Cincinnati when everyone cries around us. We
hear my ideas before him. It's a forum for me.
We were with our manager in Cincy, and Henry and I were just screaming at each other, and our manager is like, "Where's the band? What's going on with the band?
What's going on with the band?" We're like, "No, this is how we speak." And let me do this last quick one.
All right.
So I was the vice president of my college paranormal club a few years ago, and as a VP, I get to go on some trips to some really fun nearby haunted locations.
Cool.
Flashback to 2016. Me and my club were on a group investigation of Iron Island Museum. The activity at this museum is widely known around the country, so at least three groups of paranormal investigators were there that night. One of these paranormal groups from California was seriously legit. They had large cameras, infrared cameras, other equipment, and I later discovered they were going to make a documentary. Anyways, at the beginning of the tour, the groups introduced themselves. We said a little spiel about our club, and then it was time for that group from the California to introduce themselves.
Yeah.
This one investigator, a man in his late 20s, early 30s, began to introduce himself in the group, talking about how experienced they are and about how this stuff is not to be messed around with.
Sure.
Seemingly directed at our inexperienced group, right? Other groups chime in, and then all of a sudden, the man stops speaking, and he starts to get very emotional. He starts to shake. His eyes tear up, and he says this, and this is in his voice shaking. This is complete seriousness. He tells us this story. After a particularly difficult investigation of a client's home, a demonic spirit followed him home. The spirit would come to him at night and, first appearing as sort of a dark shape in the corner of his room. He'd be paralyzed in his bed, unable to move or scream. As the spirit slowly came closer, he shut off his eyes, but he tried to say some sort of prayer to himself. But when he did, he proceeded to feel the sort of force on top of him, holding him down.
Ooh.
He then felt his anus penetrated by what he told us
Wait, this is what?
Don't laugh at no. He felt his anus penetrated, but what he told us was definitely a penis.
What?
Crying,
a demon penis?
He tells us in vivid detail about how he felt the spirit have anal sex with him until he, the investigator, until he came. But when he came, he felt the warm cum leave his penis and fill his own asshole. He told us that the spirit stole his cum and put it inside him. He began to describe the feeling of his own cum dripping out of his ass, and the head of the California group cuts him off. Why not stop him before?
I don't know.
Apologizing profusely for his team members' behavior, reiterating the warning that there are demonic spirits out there that can have very real impacts on your life, right? This is true. So every investigation should be taken very seriously.
Yeah.
The head investigator for that group pulled aside later, telling us that the man had mental illness outside of investigating and not to take what he said as fact.
Well, you never know what's going to happen in the world of paranormal. Occasionally a demon will have anal sex with you and then, I guess, make your butthole a bowl for your own.
Hey, man, some people love it. Some
people do love it. They really do. Well, thank you so much for those emails. SideStoriesLPOTL@gmail.com. Shoot us your tales. If you have any heroes you want us to give shout-outs to, please let us know. And, wow, indeed, a tale that really shakes you to the core, doesn't it?
It really does, and I'm sad I even said it.
Yep. Yep, yep. In a way, I am too.
I'm just going to think about it all day. I'm just thinking him just...
In a way, I'm upset that you did
bubbles.
Too.
Yeah. You know, and that's why you really got to live, laugh, love.
You do.
Because you never know what's going to happen when you're on tour. You never know what's going to happen when you're seeing a bunch of ghosts.
Nope.
Right? You got to live knowing for a fact. You got to just keep one eye open when you're sleeping.
Yes, you do.
Just always wonder, especially if you've been around a bunch of demons, because you don't know what's going to happen. You gotta laugh at the little funny little things.
Yeah.
That happen. Like, if he puts a bunch of cum in your own butt, Hey.
That's a fun thing.
At least it's your cum.
At least, yeah. Not bad. Could be worse.
Love every time life throws you a curveball.
You have to.
Like you're pressed down in your sleep by Annabelle, and your butt is filled with your own cum.
Absolutely. Hit that curveball out of the park. All right, everyone. Hope you're hanging in there. It's a fundemic. It continues.
In the middle of this fundemic, I also just want to straight up say, thought a lot about Elijah McClain recently in this story that came out, and it
that
is absolutely
is so
devastating. Research it if you haven't heard anything about it. This young man was very hastily killed by police during a stop. They never should have called the cops on him. He was just walking down the street with a ski mask. He was a young kid, good kid. It shouldn't happen, but that just him being a good kid doesn't mean it shouldn't have just happened to him. It shouldn't happen to anybody.
Yeah, absolutely.
And this is the kind of shit that we need to fucking
so
fix, and I don't know how we do that.
If you haven't heard of that story, Elijah McClain, this happened last year. Absolutely devastating. Seemingly a wonderful man with a wonderful heart, a very innocent soul. And yes, brutalized, knee on the back, the whole thing. And again, we are focusing, as we always do, on criminal justice for Abling and Top Hat. So we will be discussing more of that story as well as the weeks go on and discussing.
But we love you guys.
Yes,
straight
we do,
up, man.
So.
We just love you so much. And we don't want anybody to experience this kind of pain.
Absolutely just, not. Yeah. Absolutely not. It's we got a lot of trauma in this country. We need a lot of healing. And the first step, we have to hold people accountable. Get rid of the blue wall of silence. Get rid of these police unions. And we need to have community policing and people treated with respect, because by golly, we're worth it. We deserve it. And it's going to we got to come together on that.
I'm with you, baby.
All right, guys. Never forget. This is from me to yo. Hail yourselves.
And hail Satan. The good one.
The good one.
The one who just wants you to go to the music. He just wants you to go see some music.
Well, I heard,
he wants you to just touch yourself.
I heard that Satan's minions, these demons, are out there making people do things in their own butt.
But tell you what. He probably kind of liked it.
He came. I know that. He full on ejaculated. I have a feeling he was also sitting on his own
thumb. That's a whole thing.
I think he was giving
that's
himself
very
a
complicated.
Thumbs up. All right, everyone.
All right.
Magustalations. Magustalations. That's what I say now.
All right. Bye.
Help
me. Bye.
Don't swim in a pool full of leeches that go up your cack.
This show is made possible by listeners like you. Thanks to our ad sponsors, you can support our shows by supporting them. For more shows like the one you just listened to, go to lastpodcastnetwork.com.
Emmy award-winning John Mulaney presents Everybody's in L.A., a special run of 6 live episodes created by and starring Mulaney that'll stream live on Netflix during the Netflix is a Joke Fest. The comically unconventional show will feature special guests where John Mulaney explores the city of Los Angeles during a week when every funny person is in it. Watch John Mulaney Presents Everybody's in L.A., debuting May 3rd live at 7 p.m. Pacific Time, only on Netflix.
Hear that? It's the call of the Crave. And when the Crave calls, you know what to do. Try the $5 Bacon Bundle, because the only thing better than a White Castle slider is a White Castle slider topped with crispy hickory smoked bacon. So pick any two of either the Bacon Cheese Slider, 1921 Bacon Cheese Slider, or Chicken Bacon Ranch Slider, and also get a small fry for just $5 with the $5 Bacon Bundle. White Castle. Follow your Crave.